Here on Daf Chafei, Omen Aleph, Chafei Omen Beis, we had all these cases of inappropriate tefillos and bakoshos and statements and so forth. One case that we had was a chavrusa klape shmaya. Dilma me karolo kive daite. In other words, the reason why he repeated Shema is because he didn't have kavana. So why are we so upset about it? So Rashi says that im omer kol teva v'kofelosa harei meguna. If he repeats each word individually, that's not appropriate. But ain't meshaskin also. But im omer pasuk v'koflo, if he recites a verse and then he repeats it, then meshaskin also. So Asema says the following: l'fi zeh ein muvan ma ona rova l'rav papa al hashei l'dilma lo kimein daite shechavrusa klapi shmaya. He says, "Hare Adayin, Kevan Shelo Kivein Daito, Tzorech Lachzor." In other words, why is it that even if he read an entire pasuk and repeated an entire pasuk, why is that meant to be excluded with a severe meshaskin also? Maybe he didn't have kavona. Now, let's see what the advantage of Tosus' pshat would be. Tosus Bracha says that in who omer kol teva v'kofla mishaskin also. Im omer kol pasuk v'kofla harezim aguna. Says the Sasemis, according to Tosus, it's more easily understood. Why shimlo kivein omnom harezim aguna lachzor shuv haposuk ach mikom kom tzorch lachzor mishum shlo kivein. So we're not happy with the fact that he read a posuk, realized he didn't have kavanah, he goes back and reads the same posuk again, but that's meguna, but it's not meshaskin osachon aval im chozer kol teva. If he repeats each word meshaskin oso ve'imishum shlo kivein hu yachol lachzor haposuk. In other words, if he realizes that he recited a word and he didn't have kavana, he should wait till he finishes the pasuk and then repeat the entire pasuk. So that's okay. But if he's repeating each word individually, then already it's meshaskin also. Then we have certain fears. So if you take a look at the Gemara, go back for a second to the Gemara. What do we have? Actually, we can go back to the Mishnah here. And the Mishnah says, Omer, okay, now it's on the top of Chafeim and Aleph. He says, modim, modim, meshaskin oso. What's the meshaskin oso? So the Gemara says, well, here it is, mitzei kishtei reshuyos. So if he repeats each word according to Tosu Shita, it looks like he's talking to two Rishuyos. Therefore we have to be Meshaskin also. Now then we had the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel here on Chof Heyom and Aleph. Okay. And that's the misinterpretation of the pasuk of Molech as Balakusis, a holy man of Ben Lavodah Zarah. So Rashi says that he's coming to interpret the pasuk, and he's misinterpreting the pasuk. Misha Mefarish B'Yisrael Haba Al Hakusis is a pasuk midaber, right? Misha Meshaskin also. That's the way Rashi learns, because the pasuk is not talking about Haba Al Hakusis. However, in the Aruch, he writes, Sheze Omnon Bira Pasuk B'Yisrael Haba Al Hakusis V'Ol Mena Ben Lavod Azor Masham Rav Misha Meshaskin also who in Mefarish HaYisu Rak Bibal achas meha uma shemavirin ba b'neim lemolach. Notice if he reduces, he limits the Iser only to that uma, which is mavirin b'neim lemolach, is bazeh goreim sheyavro al b'no es b'no lemolach, mash midvar shabashar umas mutar, lachem mishaskin also b'nezifa. Because he's really giving a misinterpretation of halacha. Yeah, he's twisting the halacha around. He's allowing for a relationship with a certain nation or many different nations. Ubir b'taisus yantif shetana debei Rabbi Shmuel Lo ba l'shanos mipshat aposuk shu lo lahavir b'no l'molach v'lo ba l'chayev ba l'akusis karei sumisis bezin v'chatis elo shivim panam la'torah v'zu achas mihen el shomar mishnah shimata ba l'idrosh al tova lo sitein Li Aavra Biarmiosa Shemash Mashrak Bahem Asr Bashar Umos Mut. So Tos Yantiv is really an extension of the Aruch, pointing out that you could have many interpretations of the Pasuk, but if you reduce the Pshat and the Pasuk to this case of Baal Akusis, etc., then you might come to a halachic mistake in terms of Shar HaUmos. Now we're going to have a discussion a little bit later on about the mice of Reuven and Bilhah, and the question is whether we can read this parasha and be metarging the parasha, because with the targum people will be megane Reuven. Rashi says mishum chashina lignuso. So by interpreting this parasha, translating it into the vernacular, people will be chashina lignuso shel Reuven. So the Tur Yevin says that we're going to see soon in the Gemara with regard to the Maisa Egel Rishon that we're going to read it and be metargamin, and we're not going to be choshish for kvodim shel Yisrael because of the kapara element. So why don't we apply the same reasoning to the case of Reuven? Imkemadua Maisa Reuven ain't a Metargin. Why not be Metargin Kadesha Tielo Kapara? Vatirisha Reuven Asa Tshuva Kehogan. Kedisa Bemedrish Miniskaperlo. The Eno Tsorech Kapara Nosefes. So Reuven doesn't need any additional kapar, as opposed to Klal Yisrael in the case of the Chet HaEgel. So it's good to translate the Chet HaEgel. Maybe it means also that by translating the Chet HaEgel, we get a warning. It's like rebuke, and it keeps us in line. And the Tur Yevin quotes a Medrash in Breishis Rabba that Reuven achieved kapara, and Eino Tzorech kapara nosefes bi'od. And furthermore, he says, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Nunhei, she Reuven lo chata bebilha, el she bilbel yitzue aviv, Umaila olava kosuv ki u shachav ima. So Gemara assumes that his Reuven's sin was that he switched around the beds. Mishum haki kashinan tfeilich vodo shamnam chayt bilbul yitzayoviv chata bebilbul yitzayovach ein zeh chayt kfi mashmos haposuk. Meaning if you would understand the posuk kipshuto, you would have a total misunderstanding of what exactly took place over here. L'chein choshen l'chvodo, because we're afraid that people will misunderstand or accuse Reuven of a sin that he wasn't guilty of. Uvari l'man diomer shom shebikesh lasus v'lo osa kol shkein shechayshin l'chvodo. The Gemara has one man diomer who says that he never actually implemented anything. That his chet was only b'machshava, if you will, b'kesh lasos. He says, as far as Tamar and Yehuda is concerned, that we're mitargim it ain choshen l'chvodo, kevan sheshvachu lo shahod. Okay, fine. The fact that he was moder Yehuda, that's a shvach. Now he quotes here the Yalkut HaGershuni, who says that there are Mefarshim who say Vayelech Ruven Vayishkaf is Bila Pilegesh Aviv Vayishma Yisrael Vayu Bnei Yaakov Shneimasar Vayelech Ruven Bizman Sheva Yishkav is Bila Pilegish Aviv, Hanish Ruva Cholchel Amokom, Sheshachav Aviv Yaakov is Bila, Bizman Shachav Ima, Vayishma Yisrael, Hanish Yaakov Shoma, Sheruve Nichnas Lishom, Itamze Lo Shimesh, Shame Lishamish, Bizman Shanashim Shomim, Umitamze Vayu Bene Yaakov, Shneimas Shlonosfu Elu Od Bonim, the Dover Ze. Nitan rak lefarish b'posuk ach b'targeim k'siv the ozel ruv v'shachiv and bila v'habi g'nai godl l'cheinei m'targeim el korim lo targum. So according to the Alkut Gershuni, the sin of Ruve was only a causative sin, which he caused Yaakov to be porish from bila. And Vayishma Yisrael means that Yaakov heard that Ruvain was there, and it's not proper to have Shimush, to have Tashmish in a place where others could hear it, and therefore there was no additional child born through a relationship between Yaakov and Bila. But that's certainly not the interpretation or the impression you get when you translate the words. Tana Rabbanan Yesh Nikrim Umitargamim v'yesh nikrim v'lo mitargamim. So in the Sefer Binayahu, he asks, "Madu etzarch lomer shenikrim? Why does he have to add that you read it? Harei afim chaser ofach osachas b'kriyos lo yotza, ubevadim chiser inyan sholem. Tzarch lomer sheyesh mitargamim v'yesh she'ein mitargamim." In other words, it wouldn't make sense to say that there's certain psukim that we translate, others that we don't. But to say that we have to read them, for sure we have to read the psukim. It reads, Shoyev Shalom Shemachalkim is Parshios Elu Shalruvain Velot, Vichol Elu She'ein Mitargamin Lishlosha O Arba Kruim Kedeshloya Inyamaguna Nikar Kolkach. And so the Havamina was that the way in which we divide up the parashios of the episodes of Reuven and Lot is that we shouldn't be metargeting them divvied up amongst Shloshar Bar Kruim, and in that way it would be less Maguna. So if we don't read the entire parasha and we divide up the Tirgum by reading a Pasuk and then a Targum and so forth and so on, splitting it around, Ein mitagim l'shlosha l'arba kruim. So I guess what he's saying is that if you organize, you orchestrate the kriya in such a way that there'll be a shorter amount of targum. because there'll be more kruim and less psukim for each karuv. Each ola will have less psukim, and therefore the targum will be much shorter, and it'll be less of a gnai. Lachain karamar, I guess this is the maskana, sheyesh nikr v'shleimusam, liyodam echad v'ach lo mitargumet. That even if we read the entire parasha v'shleimus, so we're not going to break it down into smaller parts, but we're not going to be mitargumet. That's what we have so far. We're on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. We read the Mishnah.
Oh, it's all here. Water, all here.
Water coming through. This has really been the rainiest winter that I can remember.
Yeah, Hashem.
Although, honestly, I'm ready for a change.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Okay. So I think the last thing we discussed, to remind me if I'm right, was the Kan Sipor. Does that ring a bell? That the person identifies the parish of Kan Sipor as Rachmanis.
Right.
Yes, as compassion.
Can't make a difference if you say
Katsubi
or everything else.
Right. And then do we have the Gemara yet about this person who kept adding descriptions to Hashem?
Yeah.
That we did too? Okay, good. And then we had the Mashal with the Dinrim and so forth.
Yeah.
And then Akol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Miyur Shamayim. Well, and then the Gemara had a question here on Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says, V'yata Yisrael Mo Hashem Alkecha Shoel Mi'imach. And it sounded like, you know, Yiras Hashem was something very easy. Michal Diyira Milsa Zuchusahi. So Gemara says, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, it's Milsa Zuchusahi. And then the Gemara gives a mashal, and that's what we have. So I think we're pretty much up to the next Mishnah. I hope so. Anyway. So the Gemara says the Mishnah says the following: Maisa Ruvain Nikra Velo Mitargim. And as normally we translate the Chumash into the spoken language, but in the case of Maisa Ruvain with the Pilegish of Aviv, which sounds like Ruvain was, if you interpret it literally, Ruvain was guilty of a terrible sin. And he actually had a relationship with Pilegish Av, with Bilam. But that's not really true. Chazal reinterpreted that he moved around the beds, right? So therefore, we shouldn't translate it literally. And then we have Maisa Tamar. However, in the case of Tamar and Yehuda, Nikra Umitargim. In that case, we can translate it. And we're not worried about the fact that people are going to speak so, you know, such a pejorative way about Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Maisa Egel Arishon, the two times that the Torah repeats the story of the Egel. Once is when Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the Har and then he comes down, and the other is when Aaron explains exactly what happened. So as far as the first time around, Nikra Umitargim, that parsha we can translate into Targum. Hasheni, when Moshe asks Aaron, he interrogates him what exactly happened, and Aaron tells the story, is Nikra Malom Targum. That we should not translate. And we'll soon see that Rashi interprets that people might understand that when Aaron describes the, you know, the golden calf just coming out of the fire, they might attribute certain powers to the ego. Birchas Kohanim, Umaisei David, V'Amnon, Nikroim, V'lo Mitargumen. So in the case of David and Amnon, Amnon is the son of David, and he had a rape relationship with someone named Tamar, so that would be an embarrassment for David. But Birchas Kohanim, we're not sure exactly, the Gemara is going to try to explain why we don't translate Birchas Kohanim. Ein maftir b'merkava.
Right, there's a whole parsha in Yechezkel of the Merkava, and people are going to come to ask questions about the Merkava, about faith and God. So we want to avoid that situation, because that's going to only, sometimes you ask a question and by encouraging a question you put doubts in people's minds. But Rabbi Yehuda Matir, he's not worried about these questions. And once again, the Gemara is going to go into detail about each of these discussions. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein Maftirin Behoda Es Yerushalayim. And when we get to Achrimos Kedosh, we have a certain Haftorah. We very rarely recite that Haftorah, which talks about Tovos Yerushalayim. And that Haftorah is a Gnus for Yerushalayim. Tana Rabbanu, let's go through the Braisa. Yesh Nikrim U'Metargumim, Yesh Nikrim V'Lo Metargumim, Yesh Lo Nikrim V'Lo Metargumim. So the Psukim of the Torah, as we read them publicly, fall into three categories. The classic, regular category would be that we read them and we translate them. There are those that we'll read without translating, and then he says there are those that we don't even read. And we're going to see later on that there's certain words that when we read them, we don't read them the way they're written, because it's not the lashon, it's not such a sensitive language. It's a little bit more of a lashon maguna that we don't want to read publicly. Again, that's only individual words. But so let's go through it. Elu nikroim u'mitargumim. Okay, he has a simon here to remember. Now, in each of these cases, there's a chiddush. And the Gemara is going to try to figure out the chiddush. The first case is Maisa Breishis, the whole story of Sheshis Membreishis. Nikro Metargim, we'll translate it. Pshita. Mal Detem, I might think that we should avoid being Metargim. Why? Asu Lishule Mala Malo Malamata. You know, we begin to think, you know, if God created the Rakia, so what was above the Rakia? The Rakia was a very high place where there were chayos and ofanim and all sorts of kodesh. So, and what's beyond that? Umala mata mehem. And what's below them? So again, you might think that since Maisa Breishis is so humanly unfathomable, so maybe we should avoid it. Umalifnim, we're now on Daf Chafei Mubeis. And that's what took place before the creation of the world. Umala achor. Okay, so this means it needs more research. Tosus says that mala achor means that there's going to be an ultimate destruction of the world. And the question is, maya achar sheyichle ha'olam. So I'm going to avoid any questions on this, because the Gemara doesn't want any questions about this. Maisa Lot u'shtei b'nosav. Nikra Metargim, right? There's a whole story about Lot with his two daughters after he got drunk. And with this, we're going to translate Pshita. We're not so concerned about Lot per se, but the feta, you know, the uncle Avram. Well, you know, this is not a cover that his nephew is having relations with his two daughters. Kamash Malan. No, that perhaps, you know, Chazal say the Mashiach came through this relationship. Right, David HaMelech and so forth, and therefore, it's not considered a gnai. Here, Rashi says that they had kavanah l'shem shamayim; they really intended to do it for the sake. They thought the entire world was destroyed. Ma'isa told you the nikra metargim pshita mal the tema lechus l'chvodu the Yehuda. When Yehuda goes off the derech there, he veers off the road, and he has a relationship with the zona. Of course, he didn't recognize that it was his own daughter-in-law. But kamash malon, that's not considered something that we should omit as the metargim. Sheshvach Yehudi Odi. In other words, if we balance the two, on the one hand, it's a bit of an insult, a disgrace to Yehuda because he had a relationship with his own. But on the other hand, the greatness of Yehuda lies in the fact that he was moda lachet. He publicly said, tzadka bimeni. And as a result, she was spared, and he was willing to take that humiliation upon himself. And that's something that we want to teach. We want to know about the greatness of Yehuda. My Rebbe used to say that Yehuda was great in two ways. one in a personal and one is on a leadership role. The greatness of youth is in two episodes recorded by the Torah. One is this one about Tzadkami Meni. That's on a personal level that a person could, you know, subject himself to public humiliation for the sake of the truth. And the other one was that Yehuda was able to bear upon Yaakov Avinu to agree to send him down to Mitzrayim. And that, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, means that a leader has to know at what point the situation becomes absolutely critical. And you can't just be passive, and you have to take an active role. So Yehuda was able to convince Yaakov at that moment that the situation is dire. You know, we have no provisions left, we're about to starve to death, and therefore he was able to prevail on Yaakov. That's more on a public level of leadership for the sake of Beis Yisrael. Okay, now what's the difference between Maisa Hegel or Rishon Nikra B'Targem, but not Maisa Hegel Asheni, Pshita, Ma'al D'Teim Aleich V'Shlechvorim Shal Yisrael, Kamash Malon. You might think that how could we translate the whole story, the terrible episode of Maisa Hegel? It's such an insult to Klal Yisrael. But no, on the contrary, Kol Shekein D'Nichalu D'Lahavi D'Havi L'Hu Kapara. Now, if you translate this Gemara literally, it means that by reading this parasha and, in a sense, accepting self-humiliation on Klal Yisrael for this terrible sin, that itself brings an atonement. That's what we call the Midas HaBusha. So when you're embarrassed about something, that brings kapara. However, in the case of Maisa Sheni, there, we've already achieved the kapara by translating the Maisa Rishon, and the second one would be an insult to Aaron HaKohen, or alternatively, as we'll soon see, the Gemara is going to say it might lead people to think, if you translate literally, that the eagle had some sort of power to it, because it emerged from the fire. Fine. He writes on the bottom here, Oseh Dvar Avera Mizbayish Mena Mochlim Lo. That's a Mechila. Klolos Ubrachos. So here we're in Sefer Vayikra and also in Sefer Dvarim. Twice the Torah goes through the Brachos and Klolos. Nikriyim Umetargimim. Pshita, why we think otherwise? Ma'al D'Tema Nechash Dilma Paiga Datayu D'Tzibura. You know, some of the Klolos are just so overwhelming, so frightening. I mean, it's just beyond comprehension if you translate it literally. So we have to be choshesh maybe for paiga. Paiga means tirda datayu, tirda sadas. The people of Israel become so weak, and they maybe even they'll come to say, why do I need the brachas if I'm going to get the klolos? It's kamashma. No, this is part of the Torah. It has to be translated. As horos be onshim nikrim umetargimen pshita. The Torah goes over all the warnings and the punishments. Certainly, we have to translate them out. The tamenechus dilma osu lemevad miyira. If you overemphasize the punishments, then people are going to come to be motivated to serve Hashem, not l'shem ava, not because of love of God, but rather because of the fear of punishment. And we have a principle which is codified in the Mishnah in Masechta Avos that hevu kavod mishamshim esarav shalom manas lekal pras. We don't serve Hashem because of the reward and punishment. So if we overemphasize the punishment element, then people are going to have this sort of lopsided approach to serving Hashem, in which the emphasis is all on the fear of punishment. Kamash malon, the chiddush is, no, we're going to translate this as well. And we're not going to worry that a person will be Ovid Hashem Shalol Lishma out of a sense of fear of punishment, because we have a principle called Mitoch Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma. Now I have a long footnote here in which Rashi is quoted here as changing the gears a little bit. So he says the following. Klolos ubrachos nikrim umetargamin pshita. And the Gemara says the following: Mao de seima nechesh dilma osu lemevad miava umiyira. Now, what does this mean? Nechush dilma osu lemevad miava umiyira. So Rashi interprets that yira refers to the clothes and the onshim, and ava refers to the brachos. That even though Hashem reveals the brachos and the clothes, we shouldn't be overly emphasized that. And a person might be motivated for the sake of the love of the brachos, means he wants to get the schar. And ein liman l'shem shamayim, kamashmal no. Then it has azharos v'onshim nikrim umetargamin. Right, and we're going to read the azharos and the onshim. And he says, pshita mal detema nefesh dilma feiga datayu ditzibura. Knows when they'll hear about all the punishments, they're going to have chalish sadas. And they're going to say, since at the end of the day we'll be punished, maybe it's not worth it. Let's throw in the towel. Let's just enjoy life. And that's it. Kamash malon. That's what we have in Rashi. Maisa omnum v'tomer nikra umitargim. In the case of the story of Amnon v'tomer, in which Amnon was guilty of a rape, we're going to read this in the Tanakh and we're going to translate it. Now there's a curse here that has Maisa Avshalom Nikro Metargim. Avshalom also had a relationship with his father's wives. And that would be a busha for David. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why shouldn't we be Metargim? We should be worried about the honor of David HaMelech. Because in the case of Amnon and Tamar, so we're talking about Amnon was the son of David, and therefore be a busha to David. Kamash malah, no. And here we're going back to the principle that we mentioned before regarding the Egel, that sometimes when you publicize a person's sin, it's going to be a kapara. So we want a kapar for the children of David HaMelech, and therefore those who sin, their sin will be public knowledge, will be publicized in Targum. Maisa Pilegesh Begiva is a terrible story of the Bnei Binyamin who were guilty of the most horrible inui they perpetrated such terrible crimes against someone from the Bnei Yehuda. And as a result, it was a civil war in Jewish life. Is Nikra Metargim. We're going to read it and we're going to translate. Pshita. Mal detem alechus lechvodo de Binyamin. After all, it was an aver of his shevet. So Binyamin himself is now insulted because of the sins of his children. He says, Kamash malah, no. It's better that they should have a kapara. Hodas Yushalayim es toa hoseha. This is in Sefer Yechezkel. Nikur umetargim. Now keep in mind, this is the Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim. In most cases, this is the Haftorah for Achrimos. And in most cases, when we have a double Parsha, so we're not going to read this Tochach of Yechezkel, which is called Tovos Yushalayim. But I think it comes out that even when we split Achrimos and Kedoshim, we still try to avoid that part, that Haftorah. I think Rav Salvech once told us, it's written up in Nefesh HaRav, I'm sorry I don't have that sefer, but he says that in Litta they never read Tovos Yushalayim. We're going to soon see that's Machlokas Tanoim, and we're going to be Machmir for the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. So I don't know amongst Faradim if they ever actually read this Haftorah, but he says in Litta they never read this Haftorah. Hoda es Yerushalayim, Hoda is Miloshin Noda, that it was known, it was, became public knowledge. Es Yerushalayim es Toavoseha, all the Toavos that took place in Yerushalayim, the immorality and so forth and so on, is according to our Bryce, it says Nikra Umetargim. So the Gemara says Pshita. Bafuki mid Rabbi Eliezer. Disanya. Maisa Badomecha Chayakori Lamalami Rabbi Eliezer. Like the teva on which they upon which they read the Torah with Aftorah was higher up. You know, he took a couple of steps to go up. And therefore this Kore was Lamalami Rabbi Eliezer. And he read Hoda Es Yushalayim Es Torah Mosel. He read this Haftorah out loud. And that's really the Shita of the Chachomim, that you're allowed to read this Haftorah. It's a Tokacha and it's a Kapora for Klal Yisrael, for these sins. But Rabbi Eliezer was opposed to it. When it comes to Yushalayim, we have to have a different relationship to Yushalayim. We cannot politicize its Toavos, Toavos. Omar Lo, so Rabbi Eliezer turns to this Kore, and he says, Achata Botek B'Toavos Yushalayim, you're publicly declaring the immorality of Yushalayim, Sei Ubdok B'Toavos Imcha. Now, had Rabbi Eliezer know this, I can't tell you, maybe he had Ruach HaKodesh, but he accused him of Tovos Imcha, meaning that he was a mamzer, that he was coming through an immoral relationship, and he was the son of a product of an immoral relationship. And Bad Kaicha Motzeh Moshe Mitz Psul, when they investigated, they found that there was mamzeris here. So our Braisa doesn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer and allows the reading of this parasha, of this Haftorah from Yechezkel, but Rabbi Eliezer didn't allow it. And although technically, as I said before, we paskin like the Chachamim, but still the impact of this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer and the story here is such that we try, and perhaps we succeed in completely avoiding this. You know, the Nitziv says in his Hemek Dover that the Meraglim were guilty of Lashon Hara when they spoke about Eretz Yisrael. And he says that when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, we have to be extremely careful about Lashon Hara. And that's what we want to learn from the Parsha of the Meraglim. And part of the severe response to the Parsha of the Meraglim is Lashon Hara and Eretz Yisrael. And here we see another reflection of that in terms of Yushalayim. Not to speak Lashon Hara about Yushalayim. Unfortunately, we're pretty, some of us, I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody in particular, but we're not always very careful about this. Ein nikraim v'lo mitargamin. Okay, now we're going to talk about cases in which we read the parsha but we don't translate it. And then we're going to get to the cases where we don't even read the word as it's written in the Torah. Maisa Ruven, it says by Ruven Vayelech Ruven Vayishkav Es Bilo Pilegesh Aviv Nikra V'lo Metargim. Because the covenant of Ruven, we're going to read the Pesukim but not translate them. Now here there's a gigantic discussion about exactly what the sin of Ruven was. The Pasuk seems to indicate Al Pshuto Shel Mikra that he had a relationship with Bila. But Chazal say Kola Omer Ruven Chata Eino Latoa, that the parasha should not be translated literally. And here again we have different approaches, because although the classic approach is that Ruven was guilty of a sin, not the sin of Vayishkav Es Bilo as we take it literally, but he was guilty of a sin of what's called Bilbel Yitzue Aviv, that he switched around the bed. Because what he found was that after the death of Rachel, Yaakov Avinu nevertheless insisted on continuing a relationship with Bilbel. And Ruven was Tovea El Bona Shaleah. He says, as long as Rachel was alive, Mela, but now that Rachel is gone, he should go back to one of the wives, not to the Pilegish of Rachel, but rather to Leah herself. That's one approach. But recently I saw, and I'm trying to remember where I saw it, hopefully I'll be able to find it, that there are those who say that Ruven wasn't guilty of any sin at all. And that if you take a look at the end of the Pasuk, it's very strange. The Pasuk says, V'yu b'nei Yaakov Shneimasar. And the reason why it mentions Shneimasar is to include Ruven, that no one should think that Ruven sinned. Now, exactly what Reuven did, if you hold that he wasn't guilty of sin, so that I don't remember right this second, Belina, that I'll try to find it for you. Maisav Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel shaholach lekavul. So Rabbi Chanina went to a city called Kavul. Kabul, he says?
Kabul.
Kabul. Okay. Where is it?
Kabul in Lebanon? Pakistan.
No, Kabul is Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, okay. Vayakore Chazan HaKnesses. And the Balkori was reading Vayhi Bishkon Yisrael, which is the pasuk that introduces the parasha of Reuven. V'Amar Lo, and Rabbi Chanina said to the Miturgamon, Al Tetargem Ela Achron. Al Tetargem and Chetzia Rishon Shal HaPasuk. Don't interpret the first part of the pasuk where it says that Reuven had a relationship with Pilegish. It says Vayelech Reuven Vayishka Vesbila, but rather just translate the end of the pasuk, because the end of the pasuk indicates that there were 12 shvatim, and that's not an insult to Reuven. On the contrary, it means that Reuven's included in the 12 shvatim. Vishibchu Chachamim, and this gained a lot of popularity and appreciation amongst the Chachamim, that which Rabbi Chanina did, and he instructed him to translate the end of the pasuk. Now, what was the Hava Mina? Maybe the Hava Mina was that either you translate the entire pasuk or you don't translate anything. And the Chiddush is no, that when it comes to translation, we can pick and choose.
This also refers to it had a Hefsek Parsha in the middle of the pasuk, and so therefore
that was a problem.
Right. So you could actually treat the second half as being a
separate pasuk. Maisa Egel Hasheni Nikra V'lo Metargim. What's the difference between the first story and the second story? Eza Maisa Egel Hasheni Min Vayomer Moshe Ad Vayar Moshe. So the Psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu sees what goes on, and when the people are dancing around the Egel, and he comes to Aaron, and he asks Aaron to tell him exactly what happened. And in that story of Aaron, when he repeats blow by blow what happened, it says Vayetze ha'egel hazeh. After he throws the gold into the fire, the egel comes out. And we're not going to translate that. Why? Because the people will make mistakes, the let's call it the Ami Oretz, the rank and file, and they're going to think that maybe the egel has a certain power to it. It's a deity, chas v'shalom, because it says Vayetze HaEgel, as if the egel was there, it existed somewhere in the universe, and now it came out on its own. You know, it was a separate power. So that we can read the Mikra itself, and not, we're not worried that the people will understand and therefore come to the wrong conclusion, but we cannot translate it, because that really exposes the possibility of misunderstanding the pasuk. Tanya Rabbi Shim ben Elazar Omer Li'olam Yehi Odom Zor V'Tshuvosov Shemitok Tshuva Sheishivo Aaron L'Moshe Poktu HaMa'arim. Person has to be very careful in what they say when they give answers to questions, because when Aaron responded to Moshe's question, Ma Asa L'cha HaMazeh, what did they do to you, is Pokru HaMa'arim Heizu Pneihem. They had a certain chutzpah, v'yomru sheyesh mamish bi'avodah zara, that there really is some power to the avodah zara. Shenemar va'ashlicheu ba'esh v'yetze egel hazeh. So in other words, there were people who misunderstood this answer when it was responded to by, when Aaron gave that response. You have to be very careful about what you say. Now, Bose, before we go on, I want to turn back for a second, if you don't mind, to Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis. Let's just see. Right, we had the Gemara about all these various mistakes in interpretation, and some of them were Hashgacha mistakes about God's compassion in the case of the Kansipor. So midway through the Amud, we had a story about Rabbi Chanina. This is the same Rabbi Chanina, I believe, that we have here. Let me just make sure I'm not mistaken here. Here it says Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. Is that what it says? Yeah, it says Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. So I'm not sure if what I'm about to tell you is right, because the story here on Daf Chaf Hei says Rabbi Hanina. So I'm not sure if it's the same Rabbi Hanina. But there too, I think the story of Rabbi Hanina was about someone who was up there reading, or in this case, he was reciting Shmoneh Esrei, and publicly he started adding descriptions to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Instead of just reading the standard text of Hakel Hagadol Hagibur Vanora, he added Hadir Vachazok Vahamitz. Omalaser Rav Hanina says to him, Siamtinu l'shvachei demorach. Is this the end of all the shvachim? And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us three shvachim, Hakel, and then it says Hagadol Hagibur Vanora, describing God with those three adjectives. And if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us these three adjectives, and the Anshei Nes HaGadol established based on Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nusach HaTefillah, not Lo Aminu, we would have no heter, we'd have no permission to recite these three words. And now we are to Amr Kuli Hai, and now you're giving it even more. Did we discuss this Gemara? I don't remember. We did?
Yeah.
So what I tried to say last time was that a person should be very careful about what they say. Again, here it's in the context of tefillah, and here by us it's in the context of Kriyas HaTorah. And then we had a long discussion about the mashal. Then we had another statement of Rav Hanina about Yerushalayim. So we have all these statements from Rabbi Hanina here on the Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara says that it sounds from the pasuk like Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Miimach, as if Ki Im LiYira, that Yira is a Milsa Zuchusa. It's relatively easy. And the Gemara says in that as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, it's relatively easy. And I was wondering why does the Gemara and now this apostle in Chumash, why is the Torah telling us, not apostle in Chumash, apostle in Tanakh I should say, but why is the Tanakh telling us that as far as Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Milsa Zuchusa? So I was thinking to myself, and tell me if this makes any sense, that when it comes to Yerushalayim, there are essentially two categories of Yerushalayim. And maybe that's what the Torah wants to emphasize, that on the one hand, Yerushalayim for a rank-and-file citizen who's not on the great Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu is relatively easy. And then there's another level, another essential quality of Yerushalayim, which is only relatively easy for Moshe Rabbeinu. So what the Torah wants to say is the following. On the lowest level of Yira, which we said is the onshin, the fear of punishments, and klolos, I mean, that's something that could speak to everyone. You know, everyone could feel, as long as they understand what the repercussions of their actions might be, that they should avoid any violation of the will of God. The Bali Musa go into detail about what these onshim are like. And this itself was a matter of great dispute. According to some Chachmei Yisrael, the Bali Musa and the original the Talmid of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Musa movement, they crossed red lines here, because we don't believe in going into detail about death and punishment and Gehenna and all that. But the Bali Musa were into that. Not all of them, you know. There were reactions and counter-reactions, but there was one school of thought in which they would actually teach the rank-and-file member of Klal Yisrael what punishment is all about in great detail. You know, go into detail about, shoveling coal, you know what I mean? Just using that phrase. But in any event, maybe Hashem Shol Mimach is Kim Liyuris Hashem. Maybe on that level, you know, if you understand what the punishments are all about, then that's what you know, to avoid violating the will of God, that's something that's Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. But then we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, and here there's another message that Moshe Rabbeinu is on the level of, you know, he starts maybe with the, you know, in a sense, I don't mean to be pejorative, but the more childish notion, an immature notion of what Yira is. But for Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes up from that level of Yira to a higher level of Yira, which is called Yiras HaRogos, you know, the fear of God, because you understand what God is like. And we see in the parish in Kitisa how much Moshe Rabbeinu was curious to see what God was like. Also, maybe you see it at the beginning of Shmos with the Maisa Sneh. So Moshe Rabbeinu is represents the jack-up from the lower level of Yiras HaOnesh and Yiras HaKlolos to the level of Yiras HaRogos. And maybe what the Torah wants to tell me is that you should know that we're not all going to reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but we all have the capacity of going from one level of Yira to a higher level of Yira. Once you reach that first level of Yira, you don't stop there. You know, go to the next notch.
Why then would it be concerned when it was talking about the Asharo to the Onshin? It says, you know, Mao the Tema and the Push to Dilma Atulma the Mira. Why are they worried about us doing the mitzvot out of fear then? I mean, if fear is a reason, it's one of the motivations to do the mitzvot, why are they concerned?
Right. That's a big cash on the Bali Musa. There's Bali Musa who emphasized the onshin. Again, this is all in the Havamina of the Gemara, correct? And maybe this Havamina Maskana is really a battle about this very question. Should we be emphasizing the onshin? So let's go over the Gemara one more time. The Gemara says, just one second. Here, it says, Asharas v'onshin nikrim umetargim pshita mao detema nechrish dilma osu nevad v'yira kamashmon. Now, what's the kamashmon? Is the kamashmon that really we should not be emphasizing the onshin, but it's part of the Torah, and you know, we'll let it go by at that, and we'll hope that people will reach more of a sincere level of avodah mi'avah. So in that, if you go with that approach, then the kamashmon really accepts the ma'od teima. Fundamentally, we really should not be emphasizing the Yira aspect and the Onish and the clothes. But it could be, and maybe the Bali Musa felt, or maybe they felt it was a Shasat Chak, that they, you know, people were not observing the Torah meticulously. But maybe Kamashmalan is no, that Enachinami, this is the way we have to train Klal Yisrael. If Kriyas HaTorah is meant for the populace at large, then we should be emphasizing the onshin. And mitosha lo lishma bo lishma, we hope that they'll go from one level to the next level, but we should emphasize the first level. You know, so let's not give up on Yiras HaOnshin. That's also a major part of the Torah. So both said, we got up to Birchas Kohanim. Let's make a note of where we got to. And we have to understand, why is it that the Mishnah, the Braisa, tells us that we don't want to translate Birchas Kohen? I mean, that seems pretty innocuous. So that we'll get to Mirz Hashem tomorrow.